Yesterday, we were looking at the book of John and 1 John, mostly at 1 John. But what I was looking at is the comparison. And I love the fact that John, who's the author, of course, of the Gospel, John, but also the author of the three letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and, of course, the book of Revelation. There's a large time span between the time that John walked with Jesus, that Jesus walked with John and the disciples, until he wrote his Gospel, then more time with the letters. And the great thing is, just the consistency in the Word of God. And when you read John 3:16, we looked at that. That's, of course, one of those foundational verses. All of us know it. Every born-again believer, if you can't remember any other verse, you do remember John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We all know that. We can all say that. We understand it. But then we look at John. That's John 3:16. Then we look at John's first letter, 1 John. And the To me, one of the just really awesome things is you come to that same section, John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, and you see that John is kind of picking up on that same theme. He's building upon what we know from John 3:16. And yesterday, what I was trying to point out is John 3:16 is one of those verses that is so powerful, and yet we kind of compartmentalize it and say, well, that's the verse that we use for evangelism. So I'm going to set that verse aside. We don't spend a lot of time really getting depth out of that. We think that's the limit of it. But it's a verse that talks to us about the love of God. And understanding the love of God is something that is an ongoing. It's the kind of thing that you're not going to get all in one sitting. And we often look at that and only find that one element. But when you look at 1 John chapter 3, verse number 16, so again, this is written years later. Here's what it says, and I'm reading this because I want you to hear the fullness of it. I'm reading this from the Amplified Bible. But this we come to know progressively, to recognize, to perceive, to understand the essential love that he laid down his own life for us. So he's talking about the same thing. As John 3:16 talks about God so loved the world that he gave his son. Now here John, who documented that for us, is now building upon that, and he's saying that love of Christ is essential. This is the essential love. This is the foundation. Understanding that love and the fullness of that love is something that is essential, but he also says it's something that's progressive. So many times we think to ourselves, yep, I understand. God loved me so much, he sent Jesus Christ. Here's the love of Jesus for me. He died on the cross and took my sins. I get it. But if we just leave it there, then we're not getting the fullness, because John himself, who had the revelation on Christ's love, has spent his entire life, years have passed as he gets to this place. And yet here he is again saying, you know what, still, I'm still learning. It's a progressive learning. I'm still understanding the love of Christ. It's an ongoing learning experience, and it's something that is essential. So we need to not put John 3:16 just in a box somewhere and then pull it out when there's some evangelistic work to be done. It's something that we need to be just exploring, seeking God for, looking into, and expecting the Lord to show us, reveal more things through that. We want to know more of the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ for us. The verse goes on to say, the essential love, that he laid down his own life for us, and we ought to. Now, here's where I'm going to pick it up today. So we looked at yesterday what the comparison between John 3:16 and 1 John 3:16. And then we can also look and see that when he's talking about this, he's saying that's the essential love, we have to build to it. I talked about yesterday how, you know, if we just keep John 3:16 only for evangelism and don't really try to explore more and find out more from the Holy Spirit about what that truth is, finding out that love, getting to know more the depth of that love, then we're only taking that love of God. If we just take John 3:16 and take it just as that, we leave it there, we're not fully seeing, we're not fully learning all about God's love, which is something that should be an ongoing process. So we're only getting one note out of it. And a symphony is not made of one note. A symphony has, if you went to somewhere expecting to see some great presentation of one of Mozart's great works, and they played the first note and stopped right there, you wouldn't be all that impressed. You'd feel like you were cheated. But so many times, that's all we get out of that. If we take that one note, we understand it, and we leave it there. I want more. You should want a whole lot more also. I want more than just the one note. I want the depth. I want the notes that come together. I want the chords. I want it to build. I want the arrangement. I want the full thing that makes a symphony so beautiful. I want the depth and the richness, not just one note. Well, we should want more than just the one note of that. So now here's the thing that we can learn and pick up from, because as he ends that verse, he says, in explaining that the love of Christ was exemplified, the love of God was exemplified, through God sending Jesus and Jesus' love exemplified by giving up his life, taking our sins to the cross, being the sacrifice for you and I. And then he ends this verse by saying, this is 1 John 3:16, that he laid down his own life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for those who are our brothers in him. Now, if you go back in the verses that come just before this in 1 John chapter 3, you're going to see that, and really, it's consistent throughout 1 John. John is telling us the importance of loving our brothers. And this is evidence of having the love of God in us, is if we love our brothers. It's essential that if we are abiding in God, then that love of God is going to come through us, and it's going to manifest by loving those who are in the body of Christ, loving those brothers and sisters in the Lord that we have. And so here John is culminating all those thoughts and saying, this is what God did. You all know that God sent his Son as love. You all know the love that led to the sacrifice. You understand that. But there's more to understand in love. And I want you to reach for more. It's a progressive thing. You're learning about it. Continue to learn throughout your entire life. Truth of the matter is, if I live to be 100, I'll still be learning about the love of God. And so will you. I have to want it. I have to go after it, but I'll still be learning it. But he ends it by saying, that's the love that we saw. He laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for those who are brothers in him. So if we truly understand that love of God for us, if we truly understand the love that's exemplified to us through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, there should be evidence of that. And the evidence is going to come, you know, part of the evidence is going to come from that love of Christ being demonstrated through us as we lay down our lives for the brothers in the Lord. Now, does that mean that you physically, literally lay down your life? You know, there actually could come a time. You know, that martyrdom is something we've seen throughout history. There actually could come a time when you may have. We don't know what comes in the future. Yeah, that is something that we should do. We lay down our lives for others. We lay down our lives for the glory of Jesus Christ because it's not ours. But even beyond that literal interpretation, it surely is also showing us that there is a figurative interpretation, which is I should be laying down my life. In other words, I should be making sacrifices in my life. Rather than trying to accumulate and do for my good and focus on me, the true heart that is understanding the love of God and is allowing that love to move through, the true heart that is getting those deeper notes of love and understanding, as John is saying, progressively, you need to keep learning more about Christ, and you can keep learning more about the love of Christ, the depth of what that means, the fullness, the richness, and what it means for you and what it means for your life. He's saying we should progressively be learning those things and seeing those things. And if we are, then we should be willing to have that same love demonstrated with us. If it's going to flow through us and it's his love, it's going to look like his love. And we saw what his love looked like. So if I'm allowing that love, if I'm getting more than just that one note that just says, okay, I got mine, and so I'm good. I'm going to go out with my life. I got mine. I got everything that I need. He took care of me. I'm good. That's just the one note. I want to get the second note. I want to get the notes that all play together. I want to get the chords. I want to get the full. I want to get the arrangements. I want to see the fullness of love, the love that God has for me. I want to understand it. I want to experience it. I want to see what all that means. And I want it to flow through me. This should be the heart's desire for each one of us that's a believer in Jesus Christ. And that means I'm going to be willing to lay down my life. I'm going to be willing to make sacrifices in my life to benefit those that are around me, to touch their lives, to make sure that I'm strengthening them, to do whatever sacrifices I can do for the benefit of others. And I've been reading a book that talks about just some of the great men of faith throughout history, throughout the last 2,000 years. And William Carey is one of those who really became the father of missions work. And he really stepped out. I talked about him a few weeks ago, and he really stepped out when it went against the norm. And he's living in a time when traveling even across England is not an easy thing to do. But he went around the world and went to India and spent the majority of his life in India, spent the majority of his life as a witness. I mean, he sacrificed and was willing to sacrifice everything that he had just so he could take that truth and take that love. Here's my question for us today. Do we even think along those lines? The reality is, it's Tuesday. since we were sitting in church on Sunday morning, how many times have I made a sacrifice? I laid down my life. I gave something up. I was willing to yield, whether it's time, whether it's money, whether it's the Word of God, whether it's just investing in somebody, whatever it might be. How have I sacrificed for my brother or my sister? What have I done for them? Because this is, if I want to experience more of those notes of the love of God in my life, you know, love is a flow. If I bottle it up and keep it stopped right here, it's not flowing, it all just kind of bottles up and stops. I want it to flow out so that it can keep flowing through me because I want to get more of those notes and more of that understanding that John is talking about here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. So what have I done in the last couple of days that was something that was done to lay down my life for someone else, to make a sacrifice, to be willing to give up something, even if it's just time, to give up something, because we're supposed to love our brothers in the same way that Jesus is. John is giving us these definitions, very basic definitions of love, because you know what? There's nothing that John's going to be able to tell me that the Holy Spirit can't tell me better. Spending time with Him, being with Him, as He reveals Himself to me because I allow Him, because I'm seeking after Him, because I'm pursuing Him, I'm going to get more and more understanding of that love. This is what we're challenged to do, is to live that kind of love. So what have I done to sacrifice for somebody else? I mean, right now, just think about somebody you know who's a Christian. Doesn't matter who they are. Just think about someone. Let someone come into your mind that you know is a believer in Jesus Christ. Doesn't he have to be somebody you're close to? Doesn't have to be somebody you've... Just think about someone. Get that picture in your mind. And then as you think about them, and you have that picture of them in your mind, let me ask you this. What is their needs? Today, what are they facing? What is the need that they have in their life? See, a lot of times we're probably going to say to ourselves, I don't really know. I'm not really sure. How can I stand with them? How can I demonstrate the love? How can I pray for them? How can I be with them? How can I willingly make a sacrifice in my life and let that love of Christ pour through me if I don't even know what their needs are? How can I even pray for them if I never even see them? Maybe they live somewhere I'm not going to be able to see them and tangibly touch them. How can I still have that love by lifting them up in prayer? The thing that we tend to run into is we tend to get so caught up in our own lives. We take in what we have, the goodness, the great rich goodness that Jesus has given us. We take that and we just tend to accept that as that's mine. I'm glad for it. We go about our lives rather than sharing that love, rather than demonstrating, rather than laying down my life as Jesus did, laying down, making my life a sacrifice. I'm oftentimes not even aware of the needs that are around us. And, you know, it's real easy to say, well, you know what, even if I know, there's a lot of people that I know that are believers. If I start thinking about all of them, it's impossible for me to meet the needs of every single person that I know of that's a believer in Jesus Christ. Yeah, it is impossible for you. But the good news is, it's not impossible for Jesus Christ. It is possible for Him to meet all those needs. I can be faithful and I can demonstrate that love by just taking the time to, if I'm just thinking about somebody, and just asking, Lord, show me what to pray for them. And as the Holy Spirit reveals to me what to pray, I stand and I pray in faith for them. I can't meet the needs of everybody. I can't meet all your needs. If you need a house somewhere, you're living on the streets, if you need a medical thing, if you need money, I can't meet all of your needs. I can't even come close to it. But if God tells me specifically to do something, I can, and I can certainly do this. I can be lifting you up in prayer. I can be listening to the Holy Spirit to tell me how to pray for you, how to intercede for you. And I can stand in faith, and I can speak His word over your situation. These are making the sacrifices of love that Jesus demonstrated. And it's what I should be expecting. It's what the Lord expects out of us as His believers. And yet again, in our life, in our culture, it's so easy for us to instead, take what we have, take the love that's offered, and then just move on in our own lives. There's one other verse I want to look at here. So we looked at John 3:16. We looked at 1 John 3:16 as he kind of builds on that. But it also ties in John 15, verses 12 through 13. I want to end with this. It says, and this is from the New King James, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." This is the love that Jesus has poured into us. And if I want to find, as John has been saying here, listen, there's a progressive growing. There's a progressive knowledge, a progressive learning of that love. You're going to have deeper and more revelations of his love. I want that. I'm sure you do too. But it comes by wanting it, desiring it, and letting it flow through you. By being what John said that we should be, which is being the ones who allow that love of Christ to flow through us.